There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Afternoon, we're going to do Drive Live Talks in just a second. Nick Rago is here, though. So if you have a question about your RAM, you're concerned about the size of your RAM or something, Nick is indeed your man. It's only poetic.
What does that even mean?
Well, I decided to say it earlier. And you know what I'm like.
We're off to a great start.
Well, you know,
exactly.
I always think you have to start somewhere, so it doesn't really matter. Nick, yeah. It's nice to see you. How's life?
Life is good. I have treats in the studio, as promised. From last week.
I noticed a big Tupperware box there.
Yes.
inside of which
is... It's a cake carrier. Please address it by the actual term.
Oh, here we go.
So sorry. What's in there?
We've got Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Brownies.
Wow. Oh.
You did tweet me when I posted a photo, like, Drive Live hopes.
Yeah, wow, Drive Live waits,
yes,
or something like that.
Yes.
We await that. So, everything okay? Anything you want to share with us?
I don't know if I should... I don't know. I know
you
if
can't,
I'm
no.
having second thoughts now.
Last okay. week, just by way of explanation, last week on the way out, Nick said, so next week I've got news for you. So, of course, we've been beside ourselves with anxiety for a week. 7 full days.
Right.
So you can't not tell us what it is.
Fine. All right. Well, I mean, the cat's officially going to be out of the bag, hopefully towards the end of this week.
It's an exclusive.
Oh, no. Is it good news or bad news?
It's very good news,
oh,
yes.
Oh, right. So you're getting married or something?
It's not personal. It's work-related, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I hate to bore you with the details. So basically, what's happening is you all know and love me as the editor from tbreak.com.
Yes.
But very soon tbreak.com will actually be transitioning to Tech Radar Middle East. And for those of you who aren't aware, Tech Radar is basically UK's largest consumer and enterprise tech website. So we're basically opening a new chapter in our life of tech and evolving into Tech Radar. And so if you want the latest updates now, as I think pretty much been about 2 weeks we've been doing this now, we've been posting everything on techradar.com. So for all your future tech updates, you can now go to techradar.com.
That's so impressive. Should we say from here on in, Nick? From Tech Radar?
Or? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Well, if you do need any female tech experts at techradar.com,
I won't call you.
I know someone who will be, you know, happy to help.
Good to know.
It's not me.
Yeah,
I hope Hinder, it is. I think. Congratulations. That's really good because Tech Radar is really good.
It is, yeah. It's a lot that's changing. It's a lot of work and everything behind the scenes, and you know, it's something we've been kind of sitting on for a good couple of months, and we're just happy to finally make it public. And obviously Abbas and I have been working around the clock to obviously get the site up and running and making sure you guys are, you know, we're covering all of the local and international news like we have with Tea Break. So it is a very big very big announcement to make, and I'm happy to be doing it right here on my favorite radio show.
Okay, so are you going to be really wealthy from now on? Are you going to be above talking to us, coming in and
we'll
sharing?
See. We'll, time will tell.
Yeah.
Time will tell. The least I can do then if I outgrow the show is send you baked treats. It's the least I can do.
Or continue to do both.
Just don't go changing. That's all I can say. So look, let's do Drive Live Talks tech. Because we've kind of changed all the segments, heralding the entry of NLT officially to this program. But we're going to start with Rubbish Kickstarters.
Rubbish Kickstarters.
So, and there's only one today. We're going to do one from now on. But this one, this is what you sent through today. Can't decide if you need a spoon or a straw. There's a decision for you. Then you need a spootraw.
This is one of those things where, you know, I don't know if people are sort of joking or they're serious about it, because this is something that I thought, why would anyone want this? Why?
I know.
Honestly, why?
It's a really odd thing. Here's the introduction on the website. So Spootraw, S-P-O-O-T-R-A-W. You can see what they tried to do there, unsuccessfully, I think. A mix between a conventional spoon and a straw when a prehistoric tool meets the 21st century. That's their pitch.
What's so prehistoric about a spoon?
Not sure that spoons are prehistoric, but there you go. So I've got a couple of clips, and just listen to the explanation first of all.
Meet Spootraw, a tool that everyone needs. Spootraw is a combination between conventional spoon and straw. It has been designed to be usable, durable, and easy to use.
Okay, so there you go. So that's what it is, and that sounds great.
Okay, I don't know if even people listening would even still understand what it is. So, I mean, yeah, it's a combination of a spoon and a straw. So if you look at a normal straw, but imagine that if you look at a normal spoon, but imagine the spoon was hollow.
Yes.
So if you are having cereal in the morning, as an example, and you finish all the cereal, and you have a lovely bowl of like chocolatey milk or whatever is there from your cereal, and you think, you know, instead of lifting the bowl to my mouth like an ape or something, I will use the spoon or the spoutraw to basically drink through the spoon.
Because that's clearly a lot more polite.
Of course.
Well, here's a bit more.
The body of spoutraw is smooth and isolated for hot and cold drinks. The tip of spoutraw has been designed to reach every corner of your bowl or cup and to reduce the noisy sound you hear. Spoutraw is perfect for everyday use and for backpackers or picnics.
At Spoutraw, we are not reinventing the wheel, but we are recreating the way people can eat. And you can support us.
What do you think of that?
I just can't. We're not reinventing the wheel, but we are making a spoon and a straw together.
Can you imagine what it would be like to clean this thing? Like, imagine you have like a smoothie. You're like, oh, I really want to drink this through the spoutraw. No.
I looked at this, and then I looked at the last time I looked, which is what, an hour ago, maybe two backers. They're looking for $10,000.
Four backers now.
Okay, yeah. Well, an hour's gone by.
I was one of them.
$10 they'd had.
There is a fast food outlet, not mentioning any names, that does this already.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea's been and gone.
Yeah. No.
I don't. And also, why do they need 4,000 to start producing them?
I honestly don't know. I'm at a loss for words. This is just probably the most incompetent thing I've seen on the internet yet.
I always think when somebody says I'm not reinventing the wheel here, I always think that's kind of a euphemism for slightly rubbish idea, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Very often that's what
very often that's pretty much what it is.
All right then. Let's leave that one where it is, at the bottom of the drawer or at the back of the drawer where you've got things that you haven't seen for a while. Question for you, Nick. How can I increase... asks Abdul, my internet connectivity speed at home. Download speed is 20 megabytes a second. Upload is 8, but the connectivity at these speeds is intermittent, not consistent. What's the problem, do you think?
Abdul, you know, honestly, you can't really up the speed of your internet. I mean, that's basically what you're going to get from the ISP. I mean, you may get a quoted speed of 20 Mbps, but it's going to be a little bit less than that given to network traffic and things like that, interferences. So it's probably realistically going to be about 16 to 18 Mbps. That's just taking into account like things like regular cabling and the stuff from the ISP that delivers the internet to your residence. Add that, you then have to have the device on your network delivering internet. So your router needs to be able to, properly output that kind of speeds to you. So if you have problems with, you know, speeds kind of going up and down, it could be the quality of the internet cabling running to your residence or the router itself. So the best thing to do would just, if you can, do a factory reset on your router to check your settings and sort of start from scratch and make sure that there's nothing that, you know, like port forwarding or things like that that's interfering with the speed of your connectivity. Another thing you can do is if you directly plug a device, say a laptop or a PC, directly into your internet port and do a speed test and monitor the quality of the internet there. If you still have problems when you're directly connected to the internet port, then it could just be the quality of the internet being delivered to you. So in which case, you contact your ISP to send a technician over and they can look at the quality of the cabling in your residence.
You need to ping it, don't you? Can you do a couple of pinging things?
No.
You don't need to ping it?
Well, that's one of the many things you have to do.
Also, you said just there, turn it off and turn it on again, but you'd used the words factory reset. Did you notice?
I did. I was just doing a standard IT support routine.
Love it. All right then, that's your answer. Here's another one for you. If you have a question for Nick today, it's very easy to get in touch. 4001 or the free app, or you can call 43 1010. Quick review on the Xiaomi, is that correct pronunciation? M6,
yes.
Please. So we'll maybe look at that in a few moments.
Yeah, come back after the break.
This is Drive Live with Natalie Lindo-Taylor and Tim Elliott.
And we're on Drive Live Talks Tech today.
Drive Live Talks Technology.
With Nick Rago from, well, formerly of TeaBreak.com, now of TechRadar.com. There you are. Congratulations. I can't get over that. Because whenever I Google, you know, tech stuff, and I do it regularly because you send through things, and I think, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
TechRadar comes up, you know, quickly on Google, of course. Big, big site, Nick.
Yeah, it is. It's big. It's a lot of work, and we're happy to be bringing it to the Middle East.
All right, then. So that's one thing. Nick's with us to answer your questions, if you would like him to. 4001 or via the free app, 423-1010 to call to talk to him directly. Here's a question for you. Help. thanks. With four routers at home, sometimes we struggle with speed and connectivity. Evenings and dorm rooms are worse. I guess this is somebody at college. Who can I call to do a home visit and evaluate and even maybe rectify this for us?
I think you can try geekstar.ae. They tend to do a lot of this sort of IT-related things or smartphone evaluations or repairs and things like that. But give them a try. If you can upgrade the router, try looking at some of the Wi-Fi mesh networks like from Linksys and Google and such. Those tend to give you a little bit more coverage, especially around dead spots for like your houses, villas, and things like that. So see if you can rectify with that solution as well.
Let me ask you a question. If once you've got yourself online at home and you have a reasonably fast internet connection or in a dorm room, wherever it is, you find that there are lots of devices joining the network. Even in my house, there's probably at any one time 8 devices in one way or another. How much does that affect performance?
It all depends on what they're doing. So if they're just simply connected to the same network and just, you know, doing emails or things like very light usage, I should be fine. But if one or two people start downloading or streaming a lot of media, then it's going to start slowing down overall network. So it really just depends on the kind of network traffic that's going on your network.
Okay.
If we can just return back to the, what was it called? This sprawl? What was it?
I don't know, but I'm entertained by the fact that
the Spootro. It's called a Kickstarter, Natalie.
No, Sprawl. I thought Sprawl would be better than theirs.
The Sprawl?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a medical implement that
anyway,
does
yes,
damage.
There's a cream for that.
Yeah.
Sprawl. A couple of people have said it's already here, and it's already in the market. I saw it yesterday, so it's too late. And the same person has obviously been to the same fast food outlet I have been to and said it exists there.
Yeah, it's really not going to go anywhere. There was $10 put in for this earlier with two backers.
Yes.
What is it?
It's
said four.
Now four backers at $40.
That's not bad. I mean, it's going up.
Yeah, and they're looking for $5,000 to make it happen.
Yeah, just total rubbish. Get in touch with us if you have a question for Nick. We've got another one from Julian in a second. Let's look at the first point that you wanted to make today. Nick, Noon.com has finally launched officially. It's online. I was listening to the Business Breakfast on Sunday, Richard talking about this, trying to buy energy drinks on there as excise tax kicked in. As good as soup.com? There's a question mark for you.
Well, what we did is we basically went through, and you can read this piece that I wrote on techradar.com. Basically, we looked at common categories of appliances that people would technically go online to buy. So everything from like a good mixer, a vacuum cleaner, a smartphone, a TV, all these things, and we compared prices, and you know, sometimes they were just literally a dirham or two, three dirhams difference, but there are some models where it was a good 50 dirhams, 100 dirhams, even 1,000 dirhams difference. So, you know, there are some categories where Noon is definitely pricing themselves more intelligently than Souq. But I think overall, it's good to have another competitor in the market. They, you know, promise to have, you know, almost hundreds of thousands of products available at the click of a button, like Souq does as well. So I think, it's a good competition for the market. Whether or not they're going to outlast Souq or do better than Souq is a question of time, because I think consumers have started shopping on Noon and, you know, sort of taking advantage of some of the early bird discounts and things like that. But we're going to be ordering something from Noon next week to see how the service is. But I think at first glance, they are very intelligently pricing their products, and there is some decent selection of things available. So I think it's going to give Souq a run for their money.
Well, do you know, there was a piece of news out today. This was, Adelshaw Goddard, I think it was, reporting. It's a retail report. Here was a line in this. Does this surprise you? Let me just put this out there. We spend, this is done in pounds sterling, so apparently here in, it's the UAE, they've looked at a number of different markets, but the upshot is this: the amount that we spend online here in the Emirates every month is £311 sterling. It's around about 1,500 dirhams. Mm-hmm. That's the level it's at. 58% from overseas vendors, so the opportunity is clear there for Noon.com, for Souq, etc. But does that seem like a lot to you? 15, what would you spend every month online, if you don't mind me asking? Is it that kind of...
You know what? Honestly, I think in September, I may have spent just about that on sites like Souq and Amazon and shipping items in. Because I think the sort of the range of items you have online tends to be a lot richer and a lot better than what you get in retail. And plus, the advantage of that is you can look at what consumers are saying, what people are basically, you know, saying about products, about particular sellers, that it kind of makes sense. It's just, it's perfect that way, because you get to see what people are buying, what are the trends. There's also a lot more opportunities for recommended products to go. So you've bought this, we may also recommend you buy this instead, or customers frequently bought this item, that item. And a lot of times they make sense to buy those items together. Okay, I'm going to buy a new lamp. Yes, I want to buy some smart bulbs with it. Or I also want to buy a hub for Alexa. So all this kind of comes together. So I actually really enjoy looking for items online and, you know, trying to snag a good bargain.
I thought it sounded like an awful lot of money to spend each month online.
Yeah. Yeah, that was what struck NLT and I. 1,500 dirhams. I'm thinking last month, what did I spend online?
Yeah.
Nothing like
that. I think if I went into my orders and added it up, I guarantee I would have spent close to that amount last month.
Mm. But would you do that regularly, do you think, or not?
Probably
really?
Not regularly, but I think there isn't a month that goes by where I haven't shopped online for something. And literally this afternoon, I ordered something from souq.com for about 45 dirhams. Simple as that.
Okay. Because you couldn't be bothered to go to the shop to get it?
No, because it's not available on stores. Oh, so it's only available online.
Okay.
We've got a couple of questions for you, but before we get to that, we've got a request. I'm going to read it out because I just will.
Okay.
It says, Nick, can you guys dedicate a show to blockchain and Ethereum? People love hearing about this technology.
They do, but Natalie, you look very confused.
Well, I am. I don't even know what that word means or if I pronounced it correctly.
You did. You did very well.
Oh, that was good.
Thanks. Yes.
We need an applause sound effect for next on the soundboard next week.
Yeah,
make note, Tim. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, so I mean, I'd love to dedicate a show to blockchain and Ethereum and Bitcoin and everything else, but I don't think we'd have that long of a segment. For anyone who's listening, who's kind of wondering what in the world are we talking about, it's just digital currencies and kind of where people are using a combination of software and hardware to mine for these currencies and are sort of making a fortune. So if you had Bitcoin, for example, a couple of years ago, if you bought maybe $100 worth of this digital currency, today it's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so people are basically deciding whether or not they want to sell or buy Bitcoin, or they're investing in other currencies like Ethereum and the like. So yeah, there is a lot of money and a lot of interesting things to be had with digital currency and Bitcoin and blockchain. However, it's not moderated, so anything can go. It's a very volatile market. So don't think you're going to go ahead and spend and invest thousands of dollars in this market thinking you're going to get hundreds of thousands of dollars back. It's very volatile. So just, you know, if you are getting into it, do it wisely.
All right. So we're going to be at Gitex next week with Dark Matter. So we'll do a blockchain explanation, if we can, as quickly and as easy as possible.
Get someone in.
It's a hard thing to explain. All right, then. Where are we going to go now?
Julian.
Question. Yeah, go
Julian's
for Julian.
Been waiting. Julian says, hi Nick, I have an LG Smart TV and my Netflix keeps asking for updates. I have uninstalled, reset factory settings on the TV several times and it's still not great. The TV's 2 years old. Any suggestions?
Julian, funny enough, I had this problem on my Samsung TV when I first got it and I couldn't for the life of me figure out what was wrong. And then I actually, same thing, I reset it, would do all the setup instructions and it would just keep on asking me to update it. And so what I ended up doing is actually changing the region of my app store. So for, I was basically defaulting it to the UAE, which is what you would do. And what I did is I basically set up my account with the US store and I downloaded the Netflix app straight onto my TV, installed it, applied all the updates, and it was perfect from then on. So maybe try that, Julian. Try when the next time you reset it, set up your account, but set it up in the UK or US or whatever. You'll still have the same local content coming through Netflix. So it doesn't really matter where you download the app from. The app will automatically detect you're in the UAE and give you the UAE Netflix store. But try that. Do try that. Just give it a refresh again and try a different location.
So this is the store that you got your LG Netflix app from. This is the LG, effectively, TV app store.
Correct,
if you like. Okay. Yeah. Sounds like good advice to me. Questions for Nick, 4001 via the free app on 423-1010 on the phone. Nick is back in a moment answering... Here we go. We're going to talk as well about this, the iPhone 8 screen split.
This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
Tech today.
Drive Live talks technology.
Nick Rago is here from techradar.com.
Still getting used to things.
You should have a little notice up there.
Oh, it's just great. So pleased for you. Formerly tbreak.com, now TechRadar. Now, Shaz texted in a moment ago and said, what about this news that the iPhone 8 screen is splitting during charging? Is this just clickbait, fake news, or has this actually happened?
Clickbait, what's that? We only deal in genuine tech stories here, Tim.
No idea.
So what's happening is a small percentage of iPhone users, specifically in Asia, are reporting that their iPhone 8s have been splitting open. So when they're being charged, or some have actually arrived and they've split open, I think, by an expanding battery. So it's a very small percentage. I don't think it's cause for alarm just yet. It probably just means that in the manufacturing process somewhere there was some sort of discrepancy and something happened, and you know, there was a component that wasn't tested properly or wasn't transported properly, so this happened. But at the moment, it's only a few number of iPhones. I hope it doesn't cause for alarm, like when the iPhone 7 was bending, and then basically people were seeing it on a lot more phones. So for now, it seems to be an isolated incident, but we are, you know, keeping an eye on things and looking at what people are saying on social. So it is a developing story on techradar.com as well.
It does feel as though half the world wants this to happen, as half the world was pleased about the Note 7 fiasco.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I think they almost want to stick it to Apple and say, like, oh, you guys just have been terrible and you give us a mediocre phone, so this is what you get out of giving us a phone that nobody asked for.
Okay, we have another question here. It says, my Gmail has stopped sending and receiving emails. And it says, I've run out of space. I've deleted thousands of emails. It's still not cleared any space. It's all very strange. What can I do?
Gmail can be a bit funny that way because unknown to most Gmail users is that Gmail space is actually shared with all of your other Google accounts. So if you've got large files in Google Drive and things like that, that too adds up to your overall Google space. The best thing to do is to go to google.com/settings/storage. And that'll basically give you a quick heat map of what storage you have with Google. You can click on view details to give you a breakdown between your email, your storage, your photos, things like that. And you can delete files accordingly. Don't forget emails that are in your spam folder also collect to your overall Gmail space. You want to empty that as well. The other thing you can do is within Google, you can search for files that have a large attachment, say like 10 or 12 MB and larger, and delete those. And again, empty your trash and spam, and those will clear up a little more space.
Because free storage at Gmail or Drive is what, 15 gigabytes?
15. I mean, it varies between 15 to 30 gigs depending on your provider, but generally I think new accounts can be 15 or 20 gigs for free.
Okay, there's the advice. Any questions for Nick? Get them into us. We've got a few more minutes to do this. Here's a headline for you with an exclamation mark. Instagram adds polls.
Do people care, really?
I don't, but I'm sure people do.
Tim has already done a poll on Instagram.
Have you?
No, he hasn't.
Oh, I was excited. I was like, wow, Tim's getting with the social media generation.
You looking at the Instagram pollster. That's my middle name.
Yeah, so basically Instagram's obviously, you know, they love introducing new stickers and things like that, but they've introduced a new feature called voting where you can just drop a vote on an Instagram story, put in a quick yes or no or an emoji, whatever you want, and then people viewing the story can then vote accordingly. You can then actually see the basically who's voted for what and then call them out on it as well. But yeah, it's something different, I think, to add to a story. So if you want to say, you know, which outfit should I wear, yes or no, or should I put sprinkles on my ice cream as Instagram has asked, yes or no, always sprinkles. Yes is always the right answer.
Tim looks bemused.
Should I put sprinkles on my ice cream?
That's how they introduced the feature to the world. They basically put up a story and they had somebody holding an ice cream and says, sprinkles, yes or no.
It's one of those dilemmas, though, isn't it? It's one of life's great mysteries,
I think.
Yeah. It
is. Yeah.
I think we should do a Drive Live Insta poll. Should Nick bring in treats every week? Yes or no?
Well, there's no point because the answer is simply yes. I mean,
know.
Be honest.
By a landslide.
By the way, you can bake.
Oh, thank you.
That
was very far left field.
No. What have you brought in today? Just remind me.
Reese's peanut butter cup brownies.
Okay, and you would think they would be so sweet that they'd be sickly, but they're not.
They're not.
No. The balance between the sweetness and the richness is bang on.
It's a science.
That's very impressive.
Nick knows tech. Nick knows baking.
He does.
That's the thing.
Oh, dear. Google is unveiling new products tonight.
Oh, this is
however,
funny. Yeah.
The leaks are...
You know, as a tech journalist, I almost hate this when this happens because, you know, you almost want to be sitting in front of a laptop at 9 p.m. Tuning to these tech talks and listening to what people are saying and looking at all the keynotes and, you know, being excited about these new products. But, you know, there are people out there who genuinely, whose job is to try and find out what companies are up to and try and get these leaks out there. But, you know, funny enough, this wasn't some sort of undercover person in a factory somewhere. This was, unfortunately, Walmart, who decided to be a bit sneaky and accidentally upload a image of the Google Pixel 2 XL alongside the Google Mini, the Google Home Mini. So we already kind of know what the phone looks like and what the new Mini looks like from Google Home. So, yeah, it's what are Google going to announce? Because you literally have this thing up there straight away. So it's bizarre.
It's disappointing because you want a surprise, don't you? You want to be wowed by something.
You do, yeah.
Yeah,
you
and
do.
You're not going to be wowed by the new Pixel.
It's
but what's the phone like, do you think? Any thoughts on that?
I mean, the phone looks gorgeous. It's got a beautiful, almost bezel-less display. It's got, obviously, Google's latest Android Oreo 8.0 running, rear camera. camera, fingerprint sensor. It just looks so, so good. I think a lot of people who were kind of dissatisfied with the iPhone, who want to kind of jump onto the Android bandwagon, this is the phone to get.
I like the stripped back Android there.
Yeah.
Just the plain, simple.
Just beautiful.
Mm. Acoustic Android. It's like stripped back.
Can we mute her mic now? It's the end of the show. Just mute her mic.
No.
She's here for the duration. I don't know what we did.
He's stuck with me. Now, we talked about this final topic briefly on The Lost Word. It's about Nissan equipping the cars so they can tell the drivers when they're dehydrated.
Mm-hmm. It's basically a technology they're calling Soak. It sounds very moist, but okay. It's called Soak, and basically they can treat their car seats with it, where as the driver sweats, if the fabric or if the car detects that the person is dehydrated, the seat actually stains yellow, which I'm guaranteed is the sweat, nothing else. And if it's fine, then it'll just be transparent, which is good. So if basically you're driving and you notice that your seat is yellow in color, it means you're dehydrated and you need to have a couple of glasses of water.
It's interesting this, because Soak is an acronym, isn't it? I don't have what it is in my head. But Michelle was commenting on this the other day, and she said, so your car is essentially perhaps going to embarrass passengers and maybe you as well in front of one another. And it's a good point, isn't it? But there is some serious science behind it in that you need to be awake, you need to be away, you need to be hydrated when you're driving. You're going to function better. Your reactions will be quicker.
Exactly.
You can see the logic.
Yeah, there is logic behind this. And you know, maybe they need to color it something else besides yellow. But I think it's a great initiative. And, you know, a lot of the times, you know, even living in the desert, you forget to drink water.
Yeah.
And it is something you want to keep on doing. And if you are driving and you're tired or sleepy or dehydrated, that makes you a danger on the road. So it's very good that Nissan are experimenting with this.
And how are you getting on with your new phone?
I like it. I have officially switched over to the Samsung S8. I'm getting, you know, learning a little bit here and there, like how to unlock it properly. Like I was trying to swipe left, right, and then I realized, oh, you've got to hold down on the screen to unlock it. I have put my bank cards in it, so I can't wait to go. I'm literally going to the supermarket after this and go and try and tap it away and see how Samsung Pay works out. But yeah, I do like it. I really do enjoy it.
How do you get on with the fingerprint thing? Because it's on the back. And everybody said it's the wrong place. But if you've got a cover on it, it's not.
So here's the thing. I don't like using a fingerprint tech because I have nothing to hide on my phone. So my phone is unlocked by default. But I've found that with these things, you end up...
Hold on.
Sorry, let's just stop there 1 second.
Oh, no. What have I said?
So your phone is unlocked, which goes against all common wisdom and scientific thinking.
I am not techie, but I thought the idea was to have a password.
There can be, but I have nothing to hide on my phone. Like, there's literally my email and a web browser and my Twitter. That's it.
But you just said your bank cards are going to be on there.
Yeah, but here's the thing. With my bank cards, with Samsung Pay, you can't use them unless you put in a PIN code.
This is true.
So for your bank cards, I have a PIN code, but to actually get to my phone, you just swipe the screen. You're
what about your emails?
Just literally my emails are the bane of my existence. They are just emails from PR people and then following up on their previous emails.
So basically, if someone steals your phone, they're welcome to deal with the emails.
There's literally nothing scandalous on my phone. I hate to disappoint you, Natalie.
So you're getting back at your emails. It's a way of spiting your emails.
Yes.
You're saying, I like that.
But I do love the phone.
Thoughts on the Nokia 8 we did last week, Tola's texting.
Yeah, it's a good phone. It's a good phone. I mean, it's whether or not it'll kind of lift Nokia out of the grave that it's currently dug itself. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But it is a decent phone, honestly.
Okay. And then finally, Hiya's texting you.
Hi, Hiya.
Yeah, when is Nick organising the next Bake Fest? One of his fans from the Bake Fest a few years ago.
Oh, Hiya, thank you so much. I miss this. So Bake Fest was really the kind of community baking event that we did. Mm-hmm. And we basically brought people in to showcase their baking wares. They could sell whatever they had made. And it was kind of a way to highlight community bakers. It was very much under the radar, but obviously there are rules and regulations that are in place when you have events like this. So unfortunately, Hiya, we can't do these events in the future. But thank you so much for remembering. It was a great, great time. But yeah, Bakefest DXB lives on in spirit.
The rock and roll lifestyle as displayed by Nick Rago will be...
Ever the rebel.
...furthered next week on this program. Formerly teabreak.com, now techradar.com.
Yes.
Congratulations. Nice to see you, Nick.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.